All right, that's great.
Sorry.
Here's a marvelous thing. And you appreciate so much the opportunity in the middle of the day, bow your head and say, thank you, Lord. Would you please help me now? You appreciate the opportunity in the middle of the day when you don't have time to bow your head to say, Lord, would you please help me now? Private prayer is a marvelous thing. And as you go through scripture, you will find a great deal of emphasis on private prayer. I sure hope that you spend a lot of time in private prayer. The blessings are, well, frankly, they're just out of this world. And so we rejoice in that. But prayer meetings are very, very important. And I just sort of went through in my mind, wrote a few things down, but I thought we'd just take a quick look at prayer meetings in the book of Acts. Prayer meetings in the book of Acts. Do you remember where the book of Acts ends? The Lord, sorry, begins rather. The Lord Jesus Christ has done his great work. He's been on the cross. He's gone into death. He's been raised again from the dead. And that's the end of that 40 days before he goes to heaven. That's where Acts chapter 1 starts. Let's just pray publicly that the Lord will bless us as we consider public prayer. Lord, we pray that you'll make us a people of prayer. We rejoice in all that you've done. Lord, we realize that there's so much that must be done. And we find ourselves, Lord, so often I'm so embarrassed because I'm at the end of myself and the work is not done. And Lord, we're involved in a work that cannot be done by human influence. It can only be accomplished by the Spirit of God. Lord, help us not only individually, but help us collectively to pray that you will work with us. And so, Lord, just encourage our hearts as we consider these items this morning. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, you've got the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, and verse 14 is an interesting word, let's start reading in verse 13. And when they were come in, I guess we better go to verse 12. Then returned they, the disciples and others who were with the Lord when he was ascending into heaven, then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Is that surprising at all? No. 40 days earlier, the Lord Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. They were all amazed at what was going on. You remember all the stories. Then he goes to heaven, and you can imagine them looking one at another and saying, okay, guys, what's next? And they said, we don't know. Apparently, many of them were living together in this room where the prayer meeting was held. How many prayer meetings do you think they had while they were there? How many prayer meetings do you think they had when they came back from the Mount of Olives? 10 days before the Holy Spirit came. What do you think they did? I think they probably said, you know, we didn't know what we were doing yesterday, and we don't know what we're doing today. And the third day, they'd say, we still don't know what we're doing. What we did yesterday was we prayed, and the day before that we prayed. And frankly, Lord, we don't really know what else to do, so we probably should just pray. And they prayed, and prayed, and prayed, and prayed. I think, frankly, it was a 10-day prayer meeting. We're not told they did anything else of great value. They did wrestle with the issue of Matthias and Judas, but they prayed. They prayed. We were somewhat similar to that. We were shut down as an assembly way back in March last year. We got on the Zoom. Did we know where we were going? No. Did we know what we were doing? No. Do we know much more now? No. What did the Lord do? He came in. He blessed. People didn't just get saved here in Vancouver, but they got saved in other parts of the world too. What is our response? Lord, we don't know what we're doing. You do what you please bless us, and we pray. All right, well, that's chapter one, but it's not the completion of chapter one, because the selection of Matthias in verse 24 was based on prayer. And they prayed, which is a prayer meeting, and said, Lord, thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whither of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take the part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell. They prayed. And they made their decision after a corporate prayer meeting. Chapter 2. And it begins like this. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. What were they doing on the day of Pentecost? Well, I'm going to presume they were praying. They were all with one accord in one place. I don't think they were having a party. I think they ended up saying, Lord, the Lord has gone to heaven, and we've been told to tarry in Jerusalem until we were endued with power from on high. They were praying. And suddenly, verse 2, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. It is true, periodically, in the middle of a prayer meeting, things happen. And I've noticed often that I'll be in the middle of a prayer meeting, and I'll say to myself, Harold, that idea that just floated through your head, that's the answer. Prayer, that's the plan of God, that's what you should do. And I say, Lord, thank you for the, not only for the answer, thank you for the timing of the answer. So, Acts chapter 2, verse 1, the Holy Spirit came in response to their great prayer. And you remember chapter 2 and verse 42, the response of the new believer. What is the response of the new believer? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. The context of that verse again would be corporate prayers. Many of them, frankly, wouldn't know how to pray. They were just people who killed the Lord Jesus Christ 50 days earlier, or 53 days earlier, rather. How did they learn to pray? Well, they were in the prayer meetings. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in the apostles' fellowship, in the apostles' breaking of bread, and in the apostles' prayers, is the way I interpret that passage. They said, we must be a people of corporate prayer. Chapter 3 is one of these truly exciting chapters in Scripture. Peter and John going up into the temple, and they see this lame man. Now, he'd been there for, he'd been lame for 40 years, and he's a beggar, been there for years at that side of that temple. entrance. And Peter and James walk by. Peter and John walk by. Verse 1 says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, in the ninth hour. Why did they go there? Because it was the hour of prayer. But what did they expect when they got there? Oh, there'd probably be other people who'd come for the hour of prayer too. Do you think they had a prayer meeting when they got there? They went together to the hour of prayer, and it's a marvelous thing. It's one thing to pray on your own and you say hallelujah. It's another thing to pray when your brother prays and you can say amen, and then you pray and he says amen, and you say, listen, we're united on this. Our Lord has promised that he will answer united prayer. If two or three agree, then the Lord will bless. So in chapter 3 then, the theme is the hour of prayer. Chapter 4 carries on the theme of chapter 3. They did their wonderful preaching, and the man who was healed became exhibit A in their ministry. And Peter was called upon to explain what had happened. And I don't know, you've seen it probably on a TV cast, where the announcer is saying something, and there's somebody else in the background. And often the person in the background is showing off and doing something that he shouldn't be doing. But in this particular case, Peter is explaining what's happening, and this guy, 40 years old, is jumping around behind him, waving his arm, and up and down, and all full of enthusiasm. And he's exhibit A, God's working. And the religious leaders said, we can't have this. And quietly, they took Peter and John and exhibit A into the, I guess we'd call it the police station. And they have a long talk. They tell them that they're not to preach in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the story goes on and on. Where are we here? Pick the story up, chapter 4, verse 21. So when they had further threatened them, these are the religious leaders, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. They would have punished them if they could. But the people were so impressed with what had happened to this lame man that they couldn't do it. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was over 40 years old, on whom the miracle of healing was showed, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and prayed. I can imagine that many of those prayer meetings in the early days were some of the most exciting meetings that you could ever have been in. And these men were praying, Peter and John praying for their fact that they were still alive, thanking the Lord for that. Thanking the Lord for the great work that was done to the lame man. The lame man probably in his first prayer meeting of his life, along with them, that would have been one exciting prayer meeting. He kept on praying. Chapter 6. In those days, verse 1, the number of disciples was multiplied. There was a murmuring of the Greeks and the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. A problem arose in the assembly, big assembly. Lots of issues, lots of people. What happens when you get lots of people? You get lots of problems. Okay, every one of us, the only reason we're here really is because we have, our problems were so great, we realized only the Lord Jesus could help us. And that's why we put our trust in him. And so here they are, and they're there, and they realize they've got to deal with this situation so that the women are all, the widows are all adequately and fairly treated. And so Peter says in verse 4. We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. I'm presuming, and among other things, they were giving themselves to prayer meeting. All the 12 apostles together, and others could join them. They said, listen, we can't, we have the responsibility. Prayer first, ministry second. Prayer first, ministry second. So they came to pray. Chapter 6 and verse 6. Verse 5 says they decided that they would appoint men to be responsible for the care of the widows. And so, verse 5, and the saying pleased the whole multitude. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, the proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. Was a public prayer meeting an exception or the rule? Were special prayer meetings the exception or the rule? And this is a special event prayer meeting. Special event prayer meetings are good things. Regular prayer meetings at the hour of prayer, they are very good things. They're all here. But in this particular case, it was a special event prayer meeting. Over to chapter 8. In chapter 8, you'll remember marvelous things were happening. And I guess for sake of time, we'll talk more about it tonight. But absolutely delightful things happening in Samaria. Verse 14, though, says, now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Okay, they brought them all together, and the prayer meeting began that they might receive the Holy Ghost. And that's exactly what happened. And the Samaritans were born into the church. You get over to chapter 10, read all about Cornelius. How often is prayer mentioned in chapter 10? Peter was praying, Cornelius was praying, this happened, that happened. It was all wonderful prayer. The same thing too was true back in chapter 9, where Dorcas is healed. Peter prayed for she was raised from the dead. But here in chapter 10, it's the wonderful story of prayer being answered in the Gentile context. And over chapter 12, and you remember the story of Rhoda and chapter 12, it's Peter in prison. And verse 5, the Peter was in prison. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And you remember the fact that in the middle of the prayer meeting, the knock comes in the door, and Peter is there saying hallelujah. Well, I guess we're just saying keep praying. We have prayer meetings that are oversight meetings, and sometimes we feel just a little bit weak because we say, Lord, well, the only thing we really know to do for sure is pray some more. It's all about prayer. The Lord will answer and hear. But by the grace of God, we're going to be moving out on our DVBS program a week tomorrow, and only if the Lord will it be blessed, but it couldn't be blessed. We're going to be giving a lot of things, and we're going to pray that the Lord will bless not only the ministry, but our gifts. And the result will be that many will hear and see and learn and turn to the Lord. Pray, pray, pray. Tuesday night prayer meeting, brethren. I'm going to be bold. Come on to the Tuesday night prayer meeting. We need you to pray with us. Brethren, sisters, come, come, come. How important is it? Very, very important. Is there a problem? Yes. I heard the statistics on one of the radio programs the other day. I think it was a statistic. It might have been Charles Swindoll or somebody else. I don't know. They gave the number of people in the congregation. Big congregation. I think they said we have over 3,000 people. They said, how many in prayer meeting? They gave them. It wasn't very high. The dear man was lamenting, saying, why aren't the people in prayer meeting? Lord, among other things, Lord, we've come this morning to pray. We've got a great, big, wonderful God. We've been singing about it. We've been meditating on it. We've been rejoicing. We've been praising Him, Lord. You heard our prayers, public, private. We all said the same thing. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me. And Lord, the fact is that you're so great, you're able to save other people too. We figure it's pretty simple, Lord. If our Lord Jesus Christ can save us, He can certainly save others. Lord, would you please save many? Would you move at 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel for your glory? Would you move even at our week of Edification Bible School for your glory? Lord, we pray that you will move. Make us a people of prayer, Lord, so that we might be truly a people of praise, rejoicing, not in the fact that we heard about the blessing of God. We want to be part of the work of God, so that we can say, as the children of Israel did in the days of Joshua, the Lord worked. I was on the front line, and I wasn't killed. We just conquered the Canaanites. Hallelujah. Lord, there must have been lots of good prayer meetings in the days of Joshua. We believe there's lots of good prayer meetings now, Lord. Make us a people of prayer, we pray. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.